put your hands up if anyone's ever asked you how quickly you can run 3 kilometres. No? We thought not. That's because bench press and barbecues are all that really matter in this world. Boys and girls, two masters of the old arts, Flats and Shanks.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of our weekly podcast. I'm David Flatman.
I'm Tom Shanklin.
Okay, boy.
Hi, Dave.
You all right?
Yes, I'm very, very good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Let's get straight to the rugby, mate.
Okay. Shall we?
Yeah, because do you know what? I am sick to ruddy death of being criticised for not talking about rugby enough on this pod. Last week we had one person email and one person tweet, and to me that's sufficient in terms of complaints.
Yeah, so we didn't mention enough of the Aviva Premiership last week with some results because we focused on the international games because there was loads of them.
Yeah.
Also, we are singer-songwriters, Master Commander. We can do what we want,
yeah.
But we've listened to you.
We've listened to both of you, and it actually was just two people that contacted us. But it's fair enough.
And who wants to hear about my Dubai Sevens trip?
Yeah, who wants to know about that? And who wants to know where we are recording today? And who wants to know who's in the boot of my car? You know, people don't want to know. There is a living thing in the boot of my car. We'll talk about
it's
that.
It's living, is it?
All right. It's living. We'll talk about that. But let's talk about it later, because people don't want to know that. They want to know about results. So
it's a rugby podcast. It's the only one out there, I'm led to believe.
It's the only one, I think.
So let's start with Wales, South Africa.
Hadley Parks. There's a lovely video that you are going to retweet.
I am. It's from
WRU.
Yeah, WRU TV. And everyone who gets their first cap, they interview him and they do a nice little piece with talking about the game with his family. And obviously, him being a Kiwi, he probably didn't have that much family there. Probably, definitely didn't. But they did a lovely little compilation of some hellos and good lucks.
See where his mum and dad live? It's like the Shire from
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter. Which one is it? Lord of the Rings, yeah.
Come on, mate.
It's beautiful. It's like I kept expecting Teletubbies to pop out or something. It was like a cartoon landscape. Bloody lovely. What's he doing in bloody Wales? No offence.
Yankee dollar.
Hey, don't be like that.
No, not
Do
sure.
You know what? Let me say this before we talk about the game. I love the fact that he's playing for Wales. I think as long as the laws exist as they are, get stuck in, pick the right lads, and just watch that video. Just watch that video and watch him sing the anthem, having learned it, and tell me he's only doing it. Okay, the money's nice, but tell me he's not doing it, you know, flat out because he wants to be there and these are his mates, you know. As long as I don't like the laws actually, but as long as they exist, go for it and pick the best players. And I love the fact that he loves playing for Wales.
You've always told me that you can cry on call as well, so
do it now.
Yeah. But anyway,
I'm doing it now.
24-22 to Wales.
Yeah, nearly
massive,
lost it.
Massive, huge win for them. Have they
enormous,
lost that?
Colossal.
I don't know what would have happened with the management.
But nothing. Do you know what would have happened?
Yeah,
nothing,
probably.
Tom. Do you know why? Because they got the right people in charge, in my view. That's why. Don't care what you say. I tell you what, if Wales lost 10 straight leading into the World Cup, I still wouldn't. You still wouldn't change Warren Gatland.
I'm being facetious now.
No, I'm joking. You wouldn't change Warren Gatland. He's brilliant.
But Wales learnt a lot from Ireland and the way Ireland beat them in their kicking game. Dan Bigger, crossfield kick to Hallam Amos, who I think has probably been the find again of the Welsh backline through this campaign. Now, everyone was talking about Steph Evans, and we watched him at the Scarlets loads and how well he'd done and how well he's creating, his step in, his elusiveness. But it's going to take a little bit more time with him because he's not big and because he's not, as physical as someone like Hallam Amos. It doesn't come as naturally to him. Well, not as natural, but he can't make a bigger impact as someone like Hallam Amos on the field. Now, Hallam Amos, he's had a few caps already, but boy, did he look good when he had the ball in hand.
Yeah, he looked
he's
tidy,
big,
isn't
he? He's strong. So therefore, players like that, it's a little bit easier for them to make huge impacts in the game because they rely on their strength and size rather than their feel for the game, like someone like Steph Evans.
Yeah.
And I still think Steph Evans is one for the future, definitely.
Yeah.
But that lovely flat kick for the first try, which was Scott Williams.
Yeah.
Really, really well done. They tied him nice and tight, perfect on the button. And then they had a chip then for Hadley Parks' first try, the second try.
Mm.
What a pickup of his laces.
Yeah, it's beauty that, wasn't it?
But they'd done their homework there as well because it's off a right-hand scrum and Wales send Alla Davis round the blind side with Amos, which ties in the South African nine and the winger, and then all of a sudden the space is behind. So they did their homework, but South Africa were there to be put away.
Yeah.
They were there to be hammered, and Wales didn't do that.
They were never going to do that.
No, probably not. But the difference, that, and that's the difference between them and, say, Ireland at the moment.
Wales don't hammer teams, you know, like, that's like you watch England-Australia the other week. We probably said it on the pod, you know, you think with 20 minutes to go, the All Blacks would score three tries in the next 10 minutes here. And that was basically what England did. That's what impressed me about it.
Yeah.
Whether they repeatedly do that or not. But the top teams batter teams that aren't good enough.
They do.
You know, they don't get sort They're of dragged ruthless, down. Aren't they don't get dragged down to a level that's the they remain above it. We're doing proper rugger, aren't we?
Mm.
God, you're talking about lines and kicks and pickups. Scott Williams off to Ospreys.
Yes.
What's that about then?
I think Alan Davis is off there as well.
Is
Scrum
he?
Half number nine, yeah. They're doing Scott Williams is going to the Ospreys. Fonatia from the Ospreys is coming. But, you know, I think that's a good move for him because they've got Hadley Parks, they've got John Davis at the Scarlets. You know, they're your two top players that I think the Scarlets perceive to be their two top players. So, you know, you want to be playing week. You don't want to be sitting on the benches for the big Heineken Cup games, do you?
Especially not when you're a 50 cap international.
No.
And you're not 38.
Exactly.
Know?
So I think it's a good move for Welsh rugby as well because the Ospreys aren't doing that well at the moment. I think he's one of the top players in Wales, Scott Williams, in the Welsh region. So it's a good move for him. He's going to play more regularly. Mm. He's going to play in the big games, the games that count.
Is there any news on where George North's going?
I've heard Dragons, but that'd be a massive move for the Dragons if they signed him. Because when you're looking at clubs, David, and you're looking at potential new clubs,
yes,
you're looking at the players they've got there and the caliber of players they've got there.
You're looking at
the
money they're offering. Sorry, no, you're right. You're looking at, yeah.
As well as that. Yeah. And if the money's competitive, then you're looking at what other players there and the potential of the actual region itself. So all of a sudden they signed Ross Moriarty. Great signing.
Yeah, hell of a sign. Not on a dual contract.
I thought it was.
No, he's not, is he?
I thought it was.
I think I'm right saying he rejected a dual contract. They signed him anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah.
But I've been away. And if
where you been? Don't tell us where you've been. People don't want to know. They just want to know about rugby moves.
If they've signed George North as well, certainly if they're looking to recruit more players, that's a massive, massive plus for him. Also, about giving Gavin Henson another 2-year contract.
Too right. Why wouldn't you?
No, exactly. He
genius.
Looks so good against Ulster.
Yeah, he really did. Yeah, do you know?
He looks like he's running in slow motion and playing in slow motion because
but he always has.
Yeah, but even more so now, because he just takes his time with everything. He, you know, he doesn't panic. Ball in hand. He just.
Think he's also got slower.
He has. Yeah. He has. Well, you're going to be, aren't you? At 36, you're not going to be as fast as you were at 35.
No.
21, but.
He's been great.
He has been great.
Now, James Corrigan, who is a journalist from, I think, The Telegraph.
Yes.
Whose work I really enjoy, who, by the way, as a sort of side note, when I remember commentating on a game with Shane Williams, I think it was England-Wales at Twickenham.
World Cup.
Or whatever it was. Yeah, something like that. And I was just checking Twitter at half-time. We used to check, I probably said this on the pod before, you just check for a bit of abuse, see how much abuse you've got, and then read out the worst one to each other before the second half, just to keep spirits up. And
or if you're really struggling, a little bit of insight.
Yeah, or look for actually what's going on.
Yeah.
That was definitely a forward pass. Thank you.
Look for a valid point.
Just go straight to Stephen Jones. Definite forward pass. Yes, thank you very much. Take that. But James Corrigan said, really enjoying the game, watching it with the volume off and listening to the radio. So he obviously doesn't enjoy my work, but that's the way it goes.
Haters going to hate.
That's all right. He doesn't like what I do. You can't be offended by that stuff. But he did this tweet, and it was Gavin Henson. Just he got it and gave it to someone else. It ended up the try in the corner. But it's basically you're 10 yards from the opposition from the South African line. The Dragons are 10 yards from the Ulster. They play Ulster line, and Gavin gets it in a really sort of key position. And he kind of has a quick look in a millisecond. Instead of just trying to run the show and overplay his hand, he literally gets it and just gives it to someone else.
Yeah.
And James Corrigan's point was great. He's like, it's so simple, so sort of modest and the right thing to do. So many fly halves would have tried something then. And he just like, you're actually in a better position than me. There you go.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, I really like that. So, yeah, you're given 2 years. And, you know, if age ain't nothing but a number, I've always said it.
Yep. You're as young as the woman, you girl, man.
You're only as young as the bull terrier you stroke, and I've always said it.
I feel really ancient after my trip to...
Don't talk about it.
Sorry.
We're not, mate, we're not...
It's aged me about 3 years, I think.
We're not here to have a good time and dick about. We're here to discuss rugby moves. Okay. Moves. Saw some moves at the weekend. Let me tell you about some moves I saw.
Yeah.
Holy majoli. First of all, let's talk about... You've seen the highlights, right? Because you've been away.
Of course I have. I like the fact you wore your jacket again. But yeah. Don't overplay that hand now.
No, do you know what? I took a different... I've got a couple of really nice sort of newish coats that I really want to wear. But I don't know where they are. Because we moved house, without too much detail, we spent all of our money. So we haven't got enough money to buy...
Food,
storage made.
Christmas presents for the kids.
Yeah, and you can go to IKEA and buy cupboards, but we live in an old house in Bath, so there is not one straight wall. Basically, what they say is every wall's on the piss. So there isn't one straight wall or floor in the whole house. So if you go and buy an IKEA cupboard, it will not fit, and you will spend money making it fit. So you have to have everything basically made in the end.
I'm with you.
So we could unpack boxes, but we've got no storage. And it's just carnage at the moment. It's living in a building site, but we knew it happened. So I don't know where my coats are. I think they might be... I mean, there are literally like 120 boxes in our garage, let alone all the spare rooms and stuff like that. It's carnage.
I would only count them.
But there's loads in there. So I've only got really a choice of two coats at the moment. Anyway, I was in the car park at Quinn's and about five people walked over and said, "Where's the bin liner? Where's the bin liner? Have a quick photo in the bin liner." I was like, "Go on then, it's in the boot." So I took my, like, you know, shitty old farmer's coat off and put it on, put the bin liner on for a photo at these kids' request, all that sort of stuff. And in the end, I was like, just leave it on. Otherwise, I wasn't going to wear it.
You're becoming like a cult figure.
A what?
Yes.
What did you call me?
Yeah. Sore throat. you're becoming a cult figure now with your coats. And look, if anyone wants to set up a Just Giving page for flats, you know, for a new coat, please crack on. Just make sure.
I want to build for a better future. Also, BBC have released this advert, an animated advert.
Oh my gosh.
And the bloke in it, who's the dad who does the dancing with the little girl, it's beautiful and it'll make you cry, but the bloke in it is bald and a bit fat with stubble, right? So basically looks like me and every other bald guy with stubble. So
you've
what
had a big
happens
response,
is,
haven't you?
Yeah, what happens is, with the bin liner coat and that, I realise this is a tiny little bubble we're living in, but if you have however many thousand Twitter followers, 97% of those people don't realise that someone else has already made the gag, or they think if they make the same gag again that it's going to be just as funny, but they can't resist it. So I said to one guy last night, he did I hope BBC are paying you for this, and I said something along the lines of, mate, you're the 850,000th person to say that, but good on you. And it's not a bite, it's like, guys, just have a quick look, have a guess, and come up with something else, like you're a twat, or can't wait to watch your commentary with the sound off, or something else, because I feel bad for people, because it's like that...
You don't like it.
It's like on Extras, right? Tell you what it's like. It's on Extras. So Durders and I walking along at Quinn's, and I said, wait for it. Someone said, nice bin liner. And we both started laughing. There you go. I said, there'll be another one now. Nice coat. There you go. Stupid bin liner. There you go. And it's kind of like, how do these people not know that they are the 8 millionth person to say it, or really, really the 50th?
Yeah, but if you don't want people to say it, don't wear it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't mind them saying it. I just feel bad for these people. I like...
Because they don't get the original reaction.
No, and it's not that. It's just like, good one. And it's like, how do these people not know that it's been done a million times? They do know. They just heard someone else do it in the crowd, but they can't resist. I always think, I just wouldn't make a gag that I've heard 100 people make already.
I like it. I'd rather them do more.
Yeah. It's like, right, in Extras, you know, Ricky Gervais thing.
Love it.
Where, is it Sir Ben Kingsley, is that right? He walks in and... He's like, wait for it. And someone says, hello, Gandhi. He's like, there you go. It's like that on a much, much, much smaller level, because he's a slightly different gravy. But it's like that. And Durders was like, here we go. And you start filming a link and it's like, so welcome back to the studio. He's like, bin liner. Can we just start again? In the end, I turn around and it's like, lads, don't mind the bin liner chat. Can we take a picture? Can I wear it? It's like, mate, you can try it on. You can wear it. Can you just shut up? And everyone, Durders is super polite. I was like, can you just shut up for 3 minutes? So we can do our little link, did it and walked over. I was like, please just shut up for a minute. Because every time we start, they're like, bin liner, Osama bin liner. You know, and it's like,
I was going to say that, but stop, start again. Didn't want to.
Yeah, stop, start again. Anyway, it's a wonderful coat. And
my boss at DS Smith, right, a guy called Matt Prosser.
Are you going to swap bin liners again because they're the refuse company?
No, no. Recycle. Slash packaging, slash paper, slash plastics.
Fraud.
But
money laundering.
He saw Wyn Evans, okay, Go Compare guy, walking down the street. And he couldn't resist it. He just goes, Go Compare. And Wyn Evans just turns around and gives him the finger.
Yeah, fuck off. It's, you know what? It's not...
But he loved it.
Yeah, it's not the... that's completely different because he is actually a famous person. And the only time people ever know who we are is if we're in a rugby ground with a few people in it who literally are part of our world, you know? But I just... Come on, guys.
Okay, guys, yeah. Can you stop tagging flats in the BBC adverts? And can you stop making fun of his jacket? We've got to go on to rugby, mate, because we are...
So I saw Exeter Chiefs. I saw a couple of games at the weekend. Mate. Chiefs against Bath, they absolutely murdered them. I mean,
yes,
the scoreline, 43-29 or something, don't care. The scoreline is irrelevant. The only thing Bath can take from that game is Matt Banahan made a difference in the last 20 when Exeter got loose. However, it sounds like, from what I'm reading in the local papers, he's leaving the club anyway, which is you know, going to be an emotional time. But Exeter were... as wonderful as Bath were awful. They were abject.
My point is, I've told you this before about tries that are scored in the last sort of 5-10 minutes that don't affect the game. And that was the case with Bath, really.
I mean, you've always said it.
The game's already won. They've won the game on, I don't know, 40, 50 minutes, whatever time. So any tries that come after that is because, you know, as a player, when you're that far ahead, you've totally switched off.
Mm.
I remember playing Scotland in 2005 it was, in Murrayfield, and I think we're like 33 points up at half time. I even threw a pass behind the back. I never used it. Yeah, exactly, for no reason. And I remember they had a penalty, and I'm sure we were like 31, 33 points up, and they had a penalty, and Geth and Jenkins and I were shouting, go for points, go for points, right? We got told off at half time by the coach. Yeah. I was saying, you know, respect, and we're like, yeah, fair enough. But we weren't used to winning.
I remember playing against, we played against Leicester. I think we played them like 2 times in 3 weeks or something. First game, we went to Welford Road and we did really well. We lost, but we had a load of players out, but you scored a couple of tries and you were against Will Greenwood. And I remember saying to you, like in the morning of the game, saying, oh, big day for you, mate, big day. And you were like, don't worry about it, you know, completely relaxed. I would have been nervous if I playing against a legend like Will. And you just were awesome and scored a couple of tries and that was great. And we played against them a couple of weeks later and we were winning. And they just basically dicked us. Yeah. And it was like same teams and they just dicked us. And it was like, oh my God. And then about 50 minutes in, I remember Abdul Benzi or someone saying, they'll go to sleep, they'll go to sleep. It's too easy. They'll go, because the crowd are literally shouting, easy, easy. It was awful. They'll go to sleep, they'll go to sleep. I remember being in a scrum and Darren Garforth was in there and he's like, don't let him off, don't let him off. And like, and half an hour later, it's like 78 minutes, he's still at it. Make him scrum edge. I was like, oh, for Christ's sake, will you just go switch off?
Do you know what? I reckon when I was younger, I got less nervous because you're young, there's no real pressure on you. You're out, you just go out there, you've got, you know, you're fearless basically.
Yeah.
And I think the older, the older I got, you know, the more pressure is on you to perform because of, you know, what you've done and what you've achieved.
Absolutely.
And you start to be a little bit more, I think, sensible in the way you play. So you're not trying to smash everyone. When you're younger and you're like 19, 20, you're flying through everything, don't you? You don't worry about your body. But then I think with time and with a little bit of maturity, you try and look after yourself a little bit more. So I reckon the older I got, the more nervous I got.
But you've got more to lose because people expect more of you.
You feel comfortable out there, but you know, I reckon that the pressure's a little bit more.
Yeah.
I look back on my time playing, and definitely when I was younger, I didn't really care at all. Never wore shoulder pads because thought
rock hard.
Well, I thought what would hurt a player more, with shoulder pads or without shoulder pads?
Yeah. Because you wanted to put,
and that was my motto.
Wanted to put bitches in the Hurt Locker. That's what you used to say, isn't it? Pre-match,
so I've got tattooed on my lower back.
Let's put these slags in the Hurt Locker. So Exeter were unbelievable. So Alec Hepburn, what a loose head! Three loose heads that play. Because I obviously was a loose head. Mako, Marler, and Alec Hepburn were just fantastic this weekend. Just fantastic, all three of them. Alec Hepburn, the way he came onto that ball.
How old is he? Is he young?
He's quite young. But he's had a lot of a horrible couple of injuries. He's got a mullet as well, which I love. But he's a fabulous player, and Exeter have done really well to get him fit and stick with him and stuff because he is properly worth it. They got Ben Moon down there as well, who's one of the best in the country. But they were amazing. And Mitch Lees, you know, who is underrated, but he's a massive bloke in the second row, really good. And Sam Skinner, this new lad, who's also another unit, another second row they pulled out of nowhere. Johnny Hill had a rough old game last week when they beat Surrey, so he was given a week on the bench. He comes off the bench and makes a difference. Obviously, they've got Armand, Thomas Waldrum, who is like...
Scored against every single club now, hasn't he?
So is Jonathan Joseph, by the way. Yeah, but he's... as of the weekend, but he's back to his best straight away. So Sam Simmons comes off the bench, and to be honest, Sam Simmons, as we know, is fab, but you couldn't drop Thomas Waldron after the last couple of weeks. They just got so many. They got Salvi to come back, they got Kai Horseman, they got Dave Ewers. You know, it's nuts how many players they've got. Dave Dennis to come back as well. So they were smashing onto the ball, and Bath had absolutely no answer. And the worst bit was when Bath got the ball back, it was like, shit, what do we do? Loads of, you know, courage. No one was shirking, but it's like, right, give me the ball and I'll go. And it's standing start. I was talking to Rob Hunter, their defence coach, after the game. Like, right. And I said, the only bloke for me who stood out from Bath was Benno Abano, the young Lucid, who went to my school, by the way.
Yeah.
Another Lucid. He had a good game. Now, Harry Williams, I think, dominated in the scrum. Harry Williams, a very, very good player. But Benno Abano, I mean, must have brought... five is actually quite a lot. I think he made four or five or six big hits, which is a lot in one game.
Yeah.
But the reason he's making big hits is twofold. One is that he is super powerful and aggressive, which is great. But also, the extra players are coming onto the ball so fast. So if you want to hit a six, it's quite hard off a little, you know, it's a lot harder off a little underarm, you know, sort of put it up in the air and whack it. You're actually better off meeting pace with pace than the ball goes further. So... It was a mark of how hard those Chiefs boys were hitting the ball that Benno Abano was whacking them back, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? Yeah. And when you're running at full pace as well, it's harder to change direction. So you basically, if you're running at full pace, you have to run straight.
Yeah.
You're not going to have time to step. Whilst if you're catching a ball and then putting some footwork in, it's harder to make a big hit
because
you're running at arms and there's no momentum with you as well.
Yeah. But Exeter were brilliant. And afterwards, I love Todd Blackadder's chat after in the press session. He was just like... I think he said something like, I was just in awe of their back row. They were just brilliant. We were nowhere near it, but they were all over us. But the Chiefs' back row was just brilliant. And Bath might have been third going into that game, but they got absolutely battered.
And that's probably where Exeter, the champions, are so good, because they can play with width and pace, but they've also got the grunt to be able to get up front and get over that game line. So they can sort of play two different ways, can't they? They can keep it tight, and they can maul you, and they can pick and go, and they can use their big power for it. Or... they just play wide.
Yeah, they do the lot. And they, you know, they love picking certain guys. So at the weekend, they had...
I reckon we'd suit playing at Exeter.
God, yeah. It'd be great on the piss, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
But you look at, like, they gave Henry Slade. Henry Slade came on the TV with us for a bit. And, oh my God, mate. He's, you know, he's tall. He's well-dressed.
Is it like when I come on the Anglo-Welsh?
Yes.
I knew it.
Yes. I was with the Land Rover guys yesterday, and I was like, one of them just said to me, he's just sitting there and he's like, imagine being Henry Slade in Exeter. I was like, oh my God. You'd clean up, mate. Be like the janitor. He must go out with a dustpan and brush on a Saturday night. Just cleaning up everywhere he goes. Anyway, let's do Rugger. Exeter, amazing. Gloucester, Billy Burns for Gloucester, said this on the telly the other night. He scored two tries, but that isn't the point. He ran the game, super confident, taking the ball to the line, beautiful touches for crossfield kicks. Love it. Love their back row as well.
I love the fact he also takes a hammering in tackles as well. And you look at all the top fly halves. Now, if you want to be a top fly half, you've got to take the ball flat. And you've got to get hit hard. He gets hit all the time. His body looks knackered.
He looks like Steptoe, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
And Freddie looks like Gaddafi.
But then, you know, once you get hammered once, sometimes you don't want to get hammered again. So you lose a little bit of confidence. You don't want to take it. And a sign of a top fly half is one that gets hammered in a tackle, like Owen Farrell. Gets hammered quite a lot when he's passed the ball. But he'll do it again and again and again.
That is why
it doesn't put them off.
Yeah, that is why when people ask people like you and me who's the hardest players you ever played with or against, that's why I always say those guys.
Stephen Jones for me, mate.
Yeah, but I mean, but Stephen Jones. Yeah, but he's quite a big bloke, but he's not big compared to most rugby players. Just absolutely hard as nails.
I tell you who made a huge, massive difference for Wasps. Yeah. Cipriani back at 10.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
How flat does he take it?
Mate, he's the gaffer. He's the absolute gaffer.
It's like, it's nothing really pre-planned, right? He just takes it flat. He's looking for someone to step out the line. As long as he's got runners off him,
yep.
That's all he needs. You know, as long as someone's offering themselves, like one inside, one outside, or two runners outside, he can just put them into holes. It was a joy to watch him.
Let's have it right, Tommy. He's the best fly half in England.
Attacking
fly half in England. Correct. He's the best attacking fly half in England.
But then, you know, do you want to pick a 10 that is better at defending than attacking? No, you don't, because rugby's about scoring tries.
No, but you there needs to be a balance. Yeah. So George Ford will never bury people, but he doesn't miss as many as people think because he's brave. He's also not that ambitious with his defence, so he just grabs on and waits for someone big to get there.
You don't have to make big hits.
You haven't got to be Butch James, have you?
No, you don't. You just have to take him down. And there's your man. Tackle him. You know, if you do manage to put a big hit in, that's better. That's a bonus, but your first job
is to
get him on the ground.
Remember once, right? We were... I'll tell you about what we've been up to in a minute, won't we? But I was with Owen Farrell yesterday. It's Tuesday today, by the way, and I was with Owen Farrell yesterday, being Monday. And we were talking about Brad Barrett, and I was just off camera and stuff. And I was just like, he is a proper rugby hero, like, because he's really developed his game, and he's, you know, he's not a rock star, but he's just hard as nails, and he's dense, and he's, you know, he just must be an amazing guy to play with. And he's like, mate, Brad Barrett and Jacques Berger, best guys I've ever played with, because just absolutely fucking nails.
Yeah.
But I remember when Brad Barrett had just come over, and I was playing for Bath against Sarries, and we were going up there. And to Watford, and we had Butch James at fly half, and I remember Butch running through their team, and Butchie was like, they got this guy called, the coach said, you know Brad Barrett? And Butch was like the loveliest man, a psycho on the pitch, but just lovely. And he was like, yeah, I know him a bit from home. I know him a bit.
Mate, we're on the podcast.
Can you call back? Phone.
We're live. All right. Yeah, we're live now. All right.
Piss off. You've got no fans.
It's Gareth Wattles. He's probably calling me from Singapore.
You got no fans.
Drunk.
Stop answering your phone. So Butch was like, he goes, boys, this is good for us. This is good. If this Barrett, I think I know him from home a little bit. I've seen him play. He's good for us, boys. Don't worry about that. So everything we'll do through him. Because defence isn't great.
Oh, really?
Anyway, after the game, Butch ran this line. He sort of show and go and halfway through the second half, and Brad absolutely buried him, and Butch is on the floor with his ribs, popped the rib, and he was on the floor like squealing but laughing, and he played the rest of the game because he's a tough prick, old Butch, a tough old rooster. And after the game, he walks in and he's just like arm in the air and he's rubbing his ribs. He's going, "Oh, Bradley, Bradley." So he's like, "Yeah, you weren't right there, Butch." And he's like, "No, he's come on a lot, eh?"
So it's always good when you like try and target people, and all of a sudden you realise you've targeted them for the wrong reason.
Yeah, we're
playing Australia. I might have said this, and Lottie Keary's first game, I think it was, or second or third. Like, he was new to rugby union, so the plan was to kick off long on him. So we're all shouting, "Onto Keary! Put it onto Keary! Put it onto Keary!" Right? Stephen Jones kicks off, puts it deep on Lottie de Keary, runs it back to the halfway line. Wendell Saylor, the same game, I think. Wendell Saylor scored a try from his own dead ball area.
Oh my god, yeah! Kick it, Big Dale. Oh. Yeah, so that was quite funny. Remember Butch, remember in the week he was getting physio on his ribs. Walked in and we're like, "Bradley." He's like, "Damn, boys, I'm having nightmares."
But no, you're right though. His game has come on a lot more.
Yeah, so I was at Quinn's, the Wasps game. Interestingly, there's sort of some controversy around certain things, like
forward pass.
There's a bit of forward pass. I think that's right. There's a bit of chat around Robson Steele on the floor, but I love that. Yeah, it's great.
Well, what are you going to do, right? If a player's going down to the ground and he was looking like he was about to place the ball. Was it Jonah Holmes?
Yes.
Yeah, Jonah Holmes fell on the ground. His arms had gone out to place the ball and it was stolen.
Yeah. No problem. And do you know Christian Wade sort of stacked it when he was trying to get Jonah Holmes, didn't quite work.
He was off balance.
Yeah, he was. It's not ideal, but anyway, I don't know if they showed it on the highlight show, but did they put a montage on there of Christian Wade's hits?
Yes.
Mate, and they didn't have time to put them all on. There were three or four proper collisions.
Yeah.
Like, he buried Matt Smith, who's, he's like, Matt Smith's a bit like you. He's a big, strong boy, you know, and he absolutely buried him. Not as strong as you. Absolutely buried him.
See, that's where wingers sort of have a free reign, really, on a field, because they've obviously got to do a lot of work with a defensive coach, but their ability to be able to read that and watch the ball coming across the line and know when to hit, when not to hit.
Yeah.
It's a skill. It's a huge, huge skill, and it's massive because it just stops the play, stops momentum straight away. Often you get the ball back because you're making an aggressive hit.
And he's done it wrong a fair few times. But
yeah, everyone does it wrong. You mistime it. But now teams are now, like when they're looking at blitzing now, they're not necessarily blitzing in zones. They're not blitzing the players that are in front. They're looking at the ball. They're sort of blitzing the ball, really. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, that's the new type of defence coming in now. So that everyone's, well, before you're not told to look at the ball, you're told to look at the player.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you look at the ball and the player's done something else, then all of a sudden he's on the outside of you or the inside of you. But now it's about blitzing the ball.
Target le ballon noir.
So you're actually looking at the ball coming past and you're blitzing where the ball is.
You target le ballon blanc,
white ball. Yeah, that's it.
I mean, and people criticise Christian Wade for his defence. Sorry, oh, by the way, it's my dog in the back, if you can hear him. I'll explain that in a minute. Hey, shut it! It's got to be consistent with animals, haven't you? But, you know, his one thing that I do not think has ever been in question is his willingness to collide, and I think that's a good part of the battle won. Interestingly, but going back a game again, that Exeter game, almost every time Exeter went down the left, with Short, Woodburn coming in the line, Dolman, Witten on the outside, they made yards down Barth's right and Rokodoguni's wing, and he's a wonderful player, but they did unarguably make yards almost at will down that flank. So it's you know, it's like Christian Wade. You can doubt Rocco. If you run straight at Rocco or Christian Wade has now proven they will whack you. But of course, there's a lot more to defending than that.
Yes.
But he did defend very well. So Cipriani was fab and all that. Quinn Saracens was mega. I was there.
Danny Kerr.
Oh, what a player.
What form he's taken from that Autumn International.
What a player.
How good is he at, like, just spotting? Like, he's very good. Your wingers, I reckon, have to have a huge relationship with someone like Danny Kerr because it was Charlie Walker, wasn't it? He scored two tries, one from both kicks as well, from Danny Kerr. Charlie Walker's just wide. Yeah. Jamie Roberts takes the Jamie Roberts line and gets very close.
He ran a couple of big lines at the weekend. Yeah. They did well to stop him. He's a proper horse, isn't he, still?
Oh, mate, he still runs hard. Like, he's done that for the last 10 years now.
And he's a brave bloke, like.
Yeah. You'd think, wow, you must have had enough of that. Do you want to take an outside line for a change?
Yeah.
But he runs that tight line. But what it does is it draws all the Saracens' defence in because it takes two or three to stop him.
Yeah.
Charlie Walker knows where the space is, out wide. Danny Kerr, the smallest lookup, and puts the ball on a button. Yeah. Him. And then the second one Charlie Walker tries is just a tap and go, but it's the reaction of Charlie Walker.
Yeah.
Now it was a great break by Danny Kerr, but I that was all down to Charlie Walker just reacting like that
from the other wing,
knowing that Danny Kerr is going to make a tap penalty, and he gets on the end of it. And how quick does he look as well?
He's proper quick. And before the game, weirdly, Derders and I were watching the warm ups, and I was like, oh my god, he's so fast. And Mark Mapletoft, he's on crutches, he's hurt himself playing five a side, you know, grow up, mate. But I remember, I think it was to him I mentioned, Jesus, is Charlie Walker that quick? He said, mate, he's absolutely lightning. But for some reason, no one knows. It's funny, isn't it? No one mentions it. No. Everyone mentions Christian Wade.
It's when you see him in foot races, because Christian Wade has scored a lot of tries with intercept tries where he's always gone around the outside of someone and made him look slow. And you can see that with Charlie Walker, his pace. I think it might have been Alex Goode.
Interestingly, someone sent me a video yesterday or last night or something on Instagram or Twitter or whatever it was, and it was famous foot races.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen it? And it was like, scroll to 8 minutes 55. At 8 minutes 55, it's Rokothoko coming through the middle. Foot race with Shanko, Shank the Tank. Holy moly, only one winner, our kid. Proper smoked you, didn't he?
He didn't go around the outside of me though, did he?
He went inside and outside, didn't he?
Well, he went in. I was on the touchline.
He cut inside. Yeah, so he properly.
Yeah, no, he cut inside me and beat me. But what I'm saying is, he's never gone on the outside of me.
Like Epi Tyone didn't go on the outside of me.
Exactly.
I thought I was going to scroll to 8 and a half minutes, and it was going to be doing Epi.
What am I going to do though? When you've got someone like that, that is pure pace.
I often think to myself, if I was on the pitch, I couldn't have touched him with a fishing rod.
Yeah, but I was way more better at like rucking and. Jackling the ball than he was.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And you were better at thinking of songs to sing.
I'm better on drinking games as well.
And you got more caps, so you're better.
Do you want to know a good drinking game we had in Dubai?
No.
Okay, fine.
We'll do that in a minute.
But we've
got a question on this game, by the way, which is... Oh, go on then, you do your thing.
I was just about to say, Tim Visser's last minute try.
Yeah.
Don't normally see Saracens mess up like that with a crossfield kick. They had numbers.
Yeah.
Lovely assist by Alex Goody into his hands.
Oh, poor Goody.
I know. It is hard when you're looking at the ball over the back of your head to try and catch it like that. But it was advantage to Quins and well played.
But we got a question here on email from David Thornycroft, Harvey's great-grandfather. I think TMOs are a good intro to rugby, but consistency sadly lacking. Why do the TMO... Consistency is lacking because you're dealing with human beings. It's not all machines. It's half human, half machine. A bit like Shanks. So humans equal inconsistency. So I'd get used to that if I were you, respectfully. Why did the TMO advise the ref of the seatbelt tackle in favour of Quins, but nothing when the Quins number 8 shoulder to head, no arms in the first few minutes, and then the high tackle on Quins number 10 when his shirt was grabbed, not even at collar level? I hope this doesn't come across as sour grapes, but it does wind me up, especially as TMOs have the benefit of replays from a sad Sarri's supporter. David Thornycroft, that is 100% sour grapes. It will never be consistent. I agree wholly that the Will Skelton penalty was not a penalty. That is a poor decision. It's a joke. The TMO should have stepped in, or did step in and got it wrong. A bizarre decision. It's just a big and tackling a little one. However, this is sour grapes because you have failed to mention that Harlequin's hooker, Elia, scored a clear try in the first few minutes of the game. A clear try that likely would have been converted, and you haven't mentioned that, so I'm afraid you have not offered a balanced argument.
That was... try yes or no, wasn't it, by the ref, rather than is there any reason why I cannot award the try?
No, it wasn't.
What was that one then?
No, this is Elia the hooker. So basically, he gets over, straightens his moot, swivels around and gets over on his drive or whatever, and the Quins players go so nuts at the ref that he just says, basically, it looked to me, he like in the stands, that he just said, no, not having it, no try, you know, move on. And if they'd actually gone to check it, it was a clear try, but it's almost like, do you know what? Stop bickering, stop berating the bloody ref and you might get somewhere.
Sorry, it's just come back to me now. That was the Marks disallowed try for South Africa, where it's it goes over the line and the ref and the linesman are right on there.
Yeah.
And the wording was, is there any reason why I cannot award the try? It was try yes or no, rather than is there any reason why I cannot award it? And they couldn't really see clear grounding, although the touch judge, the TJ, was right there.
TJ. Yeah, sorry. But, I mean, if you're dealing with human beings, it's never ever going to be consistent. So get used to that. Now, we're going to get told off by a supporter of, I don't know, London Scottish thirds that we haven't mentioned them. So are there any more Premiership games we haven't mentioned? Newcastle won at Northampton. Could have gone either way. Brutal run for Northampton. They're worst in years and years and years. They really miss Luther Burrell up the middle, who's been in great form this season. It's Newcastle... are great. They play with loads of ambition. They scored this brilliant try, Tommy. Don't know if you saw it in the highlights because you were away, which we're not talking about. But they basically sent Chris Harris, who's a mega player, I think, and thought that for a while, straight through the middle. Boom, brutal. On his shoulder is Sinotti. Brutal, so powerful.
Yeah, I watched it.
And then straight on his shoulder is Josh Matavesi. They've literally sent their three most powerful blokes through exactly the same channel. It's brutal. Great coaching. Really, really aggressive, really confrontational, and I love that try. It was like your equivalent of Pete Sampras serving volley at Wimbledon, wasn't it?
Gorni Vinicevic.
I loved it, and that says to me, that nice execution, but that says to me, good coaching, and I'm assuming Dave Walder's got something to do with that. The Walnut.
All the Welsh regions lost in the Guinness Pro 12. You knew that, though, didn't you?
Yeah, of course they did.
Cubby boys back for Scarlets.
You see that picture on social media?
Yeah.
Dai Lama.
Yeah.
Siri, show me the start of a bad night, a naughty night out. Yeah. Mike Phillips and Cubby Boy on the lash. Good lash.
Fair to Filsy. He got a text from Stephen Jones to say, do you want to help us out for the next couple of weeks? I text him saying, you're playing? ? And he replies saying, best shape of my life. I hope we win so we can go out.
Great. Oh, it's great. Someone else on the subject of Prem Rugger.
Yeah.
We've had a Paul has emailed us saying, a question for David Flatman, very formal. According to reports in Argentina, Bath have agreed a contract with Lucid Prop Lucas Nogueira Paz with 40, I think he's got 40, it says 43, I think 42, whatever it is, 40 odd caps, and he's only 24 years old. Sounds like a great signing for Bath, especially considering the injury record of Nathan Capp. So what do you think? And that is a really good signing. We won't dwell on it for too long, but he's an impressive player. I like the fact that he's an effective operator, but he's not huge. He's obviously a big unit, but he's not a massive unit. He's good at what he does, and he hasn't tried to sort of inflate himself with freakish amounts of weightlifting beyond his natural size, which means has proven so far that he's probably quite, with that touch wood, quite durable, because his body isn't exactly as on the limit as others. So I like that. Nathan Catt is the man at Bath, there's no question about that, but he keeps hurting himself. I think they will keep contracting him because he is really, really, really good, and he's a great human being. But he does seem to get hurt a lot, so bringing him in is good. Nick Autorak is leaving, they're not renewing his contract. So yes, overall, I think that if true, huge if true, good signing.
Rugby over.
Rugger done.
Right, bet of the week time. I said last week, Wales by 2 points or more.
Yeah. What happened?
Thank you very much. 24-22. That is 2 points or more.
Just think about the kids.
I know. Leo Vegas, bet of the week. You're doing co-coms at Exeter. They're playing Leinster.
Yeah.
Hit me with it.
It's the Exeter Chiefs against the Leinster
Lions. Lemurs.
Braves, Lancers.
Lice.
Lice. The Leinster, I don't know. Oh, it'd be a hell of a game, that. I'm really looking forward to that.
Lechers.
It gets you out of the ass, doesn't it? The Leinster Lotharios. I think the Chiefs will win that by 5 points.
5 points or more. Extra
Chiefs.
Which is
aggressive, but it's what I think, Tom.
At Sandy Park. Please. Get online, leovegas.com.
Think about children in need. Think about it, for God's sake.
Make sure you're
over
18.
There's a bet going on. If we win, they win. Yeah, we're all winners, except the team that loses, okay? Right, go on then, Tommy. You're dying to tell me, I can see that. What you been up to?
Oh, nothing much, mate.
Cool. See you next week, everyone. All right, come on. How was Dubs?
Yeah, good. Really good. The graveyard of rugby players.
That's a catchy name.
Yeah.
Everyone was out there. Quates was out there, wasn't he?
Yeah, Tindall, sort of Bolshaw, saw him. Yeah, we had a dinner with Mike Tindall, because I took a load of clients out there, and we had a dinner with Mike Tindall on the Thursday night, which was good. He did a Q&A with Josh Cronfeld. It was a bit of an alpha off. You know, have you won a World Cup? No. Who'd you play for? I mean, what TV show you been on?
Yeah.
TV show you been on?
All that.
You needed me in the middle, basically, as a mediator. But,
gotcha.
You know, I wasn't getting paid, so I didn't want to do it. But it was good. But he came over for a drink with us after, Mike Tindall. I had a few clients there, and one of the guys with us had a pair of ripped trousers, and he was giving Mike a bit of banter, and Mike was giving him a bit of banter back, and Tindall just leant over, just put his finger down the ripped jeans in the middle and ripped them right. So by the end of the night, this guy had shorts on, and Tindall was trying to rip the rest of his jeans off. And he's going, and mate of mine, Jamie Rees, right? Fabian Motors. Swansea was going.
Fabian Motors.
He was going, I thought you were a rugby player, not a seamstress, but. Because Tindall couldn't rip him off. But anyway, God, it was so much fun. But Tindall had a good drinking game right at the end. So we had a big bottle of vodka that we all had to finish off in about 10 minutes, right? So.
Why did you have to? Just to be lads?
No, because we were leaving.
Oh, gotcha.
So he poured probably half a glass full of vodka, a small sort of, I don't know, like a gin and tonic glass full of vodka, right? Put that in the middle of the table.
Ugh.
And we all had to pass the remaining vodka around with us, take a sip. And the last person to finish that bottle, the person on their left had to drink their glass in the middle.
Oh, so you could be punchy right at the end.
Yes.
Like a massive
shot. So people are taking little sips all the way around. And then when it got to the end, you know, no one wants to do that.
It's like reverse arrogance, isn't it?
Yeah, because you're passing it around to the right. So if you take a sip and there's a little bit left, you're thinking, oh, there's a guy next to me.
I don't want to give you a shot you can take, then you'll stitch me up.
Yeah, so it was good.
Oh, it's brutal.
Yeah,
who
brutal.
Lost?
Who lost?
Can't remember now.
Yeah. Guy called Stephen Pert lost. Bubs, my mate Bubs, finished the vodka and he had to do half the glass. It was brutal. But I saw your mate Ollie Barkley out there.
Yeah.
Looked on good form. Balsh was out there. Boys are saying, mate, he's dropping it. Balsh was dropping everything. He's got no pace.
Oh, really?
Sweeney was out there. Oh, mate, there's loads of boys
out
there.
I don't know Kerry Sweeney very well, but you put
a picture of his head.
Picture online of the back of someone's head. You like name the head instantly. I was like, that's Kerry Sweeney's head. It's quite big,
everyone,
isn't it?
Everyone knows it. It's huge. Truckhead, we used to call him.
What, Ed?
Yeah. Truck.
Truckhead.
It was like a truck. What do you think about this, right? Last day, right? We're down by the pool. We're having some drinks and some food.
You're under an umbrella, yeah?
All day.
Under an umbrella.
Yeah. We're with a guy called Jamie Ringer, back row. Yeah. He used to play for Cardiff and Newport.
I'll tell you who he looks like. He's a dead... No, I can't remember.
Ginger Daniel Craig?
Yeah. It was full
of freckles.
Gag on dead ringer. Anyway, moving
But anyway, he's drinking with us and he's having a few beers and food and stuff. And then all of a sudden, he shoots off. Forgets to pay.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So when the bill comes...
Oh, no. He's that guy.
He's that guy.
He's that guy.
He's that guy.
He's the guy that leaves his dumbbells on the floor and goes home.
So I sent him a tweet saying, don't worry, mate, we'll take care of your food and beer. Within 30 seconds, my phone was ringing.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, but. No, but. Yeah, that old chestnut.
But it was good. Good fun seeing everyone out there. South Africa won. Great tournament.
Did you see Jason Robinson play or Quates?
Quates. Yeah, a bit of a drum on Quates.
Is there?
Yeah.
He's put a bit on, has he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, it is.
I'm happy with that.
Ronnie was out there. Babbage.
Bit of a drum on Ronnie.
Huge. And he's adamant on tucking his polo shirt into his jeans as well.
Yeah, but mate, you don't understand because you've never been there. You used to say to me, don't tuck your shirt in because you're too fat and it shows your gut. You're better off saying, I've got a bit of shape up front than you are letting it hang. So what it does is it hangs about 6 inches out from your belt. It looks awful. You look like you look like Bobby George, the darts player, because your gut pushes your shirt out and the bottom of your shirt just hangs. There's a gap between the bottom of your shirt and your belt.
Well, I'll just say dress to your shape then.
Yeah.
Leonard was out there.
Tuck it in.
Dab Leonard. James. Yeah, loads. It's such good fun. If anyone, I reckon it's the best sevens tournament on the series. Forget Hong Kong. I think Dubai's better. Hong Kong's relentless. Hong Kong is, you come back from there, you're broken. You want to check yourself into your bag and go on the whole luggage and then wake up when you're there. Whilst Dubai is a bit more relaxing, it's sunny.
Too hot, mate.
There's beaches. It's not that hot. It's 26, 27 degrees. So it's not too bad.
But really
good fun, mate. So,
oh, well done.
Recommend it. So hey, that's what I've been up to.
Welcome home.
You've been
TVing. Doing a bit. Yeah, a bit of stuff like do this thing... Remember, obviously, Matt Cairns, who played for Saracens, over 200 games there, a couple of years at Quinn's. He's an old mate of ours, best man at my wedding, all that stuff. So every year he goes to this lunch at Bowden Rugby Club, which is up near Manchester Airport, actually, and very nice club. So I've been a couple of times to that lunch. So I went up and spoke at that on the Friday. And it's one of those things where Bubba, we call Cairns, because he just stick his bottom lip out when he's throwing. But Bubba texted me and said, oh, fancy coming up, we'll have a few beers. And you might have to speak for 20 minutes, but basically you and I can get on the piss because it's been ages. I said, oh, brilliant. I'll do that. And I just said yes, because I looked at my diary and the day was free. So I'm in by Manchester Airport. And then after about a week after I've said yes, I look at my diary and it's, please be at Exeter Chiefs by 11 a.m. Like, oh, jeez. So we had lunch and had a few beers after lunch and then stopped. Basically, it was like 7 p.m. in the bar. And I was like, right, we now have to stop drinking. And
you drove home.
My lovely lady wife has got me a mobile breathalyzer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I told her about this and she's like, I got you this thing off the internet and it's whatever. But anyway, by the time I went to bed...
It's not working, mate. Your breath stinks.
Stayed in a hotel anyway with Bubba. But anyway, stayed in the same hotel we used to stay in before we played Sale. Oh, my God, the Marriott. It's so depressing. I hate that hotel. No hot water either. It's cold showers. But yeah, got up early the next morning and drove Manchester. So it's 4 hours to get there, Bath to Manchester Airport, and then Manchester to Chiefs with no traffic was about 4.5 hours as well. So it was kind of like, but I did that. But again, I wouldn't mind if I'd been going down there to work. But you know my mate Adam, who came on my stag do from when we were kids, Adam Charman, he's marketing director at Bradford's Building Supplies. And this is not a plug because I'm not contracted and they didn't effing well pay me to come. They just have a bit of free lunch and meet a few clients and do it as a favour to one of my oldest mates. And by the way, he didn't turn up. He wasn't there. So excellent. So I went down there But that was great. And the Bradfords guys are great blokes. And I've, you know, met a load of them before. And we had a really good time. Did a little Q&A with Murray Lowe and Lockie Turner. They call Murray Lowe Money Lowe, which he, you know, and he says, I said, is that nickname appropriate? He said, yeah, pretty much. I think he's into property and all that. But good fellas. But because I was down there, Jack Noel was meant to do the TV on BT Sport, be the guest. He got called up, declared fit on the Thursday or Wednesday. Turns out he's playing. So they said, oh, Flats, we heard you're at Sandy Park. Can you do the TV? So that was fine. That was good fun. But yeah, yesterday being Monday, I did these videos of Land Rover called Open Range, and they're a bit of fun, and they're, you know, they don't pretend to be anything but a bit of fun. But we had Owen Farrell yesterday.
Yes.
And
heard of him.
Yeah, it's funny because these are like 3-4 minute videos or whatever they are, and it takes hours to film these things. So you start at 8 rigging your car up with GoPros and stuff, and you basically, you're filming, you know, if you getting in the car and driving off in the car park. Hello, mate, how you doing? Get in the car and drive off.
Yeah.
That will take half an hour to 45 minutes to film that. Different angles, internal, external, all sorts of stuff. And because it's a Land Rover shoot, they got to get certain angles and badges in on your car.
Of course.
So anyway, we get Owen there, and he's a busy man. He played the day before and lost a game and that sort of stuff. I mean, he's a lovely, lovely man, and he's like, boys, don't worry, there's no rush. But as long as I'm away by about 12, and this is... it's still morning time, but you have nowhere near as much time to cruise around and chat as you think. So we were aiming to have, you know, 45 minutes, 30 to 45 minutes drive around chat time, which is the crux of the video. Because the other stuff, the logistics, the mechanics just takes so long to film. And we get in there and we do 15 or 20 minutes. The guys don't know, the production team don't know Owen. They know me, they don't know Owen. And they're like, does he like this sort of stuff? Is he a good crack? Is he going to be quite straight, or does he just want to be somewhere else? I said, I'm telling you, he will be great. He's lovely. We do this chat. It's going really, really well. And I take the piss out of him a few times. He's taking the piss back. I said, who's the worst player you ever played with, played against? And obviously, you can guess who he said. So there's all this stuff. And then we pull over for a quick debrief and a lay-by. And the Land Rover guy, Mike White, a lovely man, comes over and he's like, boys, love that. Absolutely love that. Really good fun. And the sound guy comes around and he's like, I'm really sorry. Nothing was recorded.
Terrible.
And we're like, shit. We're not angry. Everyone makes mistakes. Like, I didn't check it properly and it's gone off. And this has never happened before. Looking at the clock and it's 11:45. Owen's got to leave at 12. We've got nothing in the can at all. And we've got to film him departing, which can take half an hour comfortably. We were like, so we basically had to try and smash it out and whatever we did, and we sort of got through it. But
it's never as good the second time round, is it?
No, it's not. And I think the video will actually be fine because Owen, you know, produced sort of some really good stuff and he's good fun. But yeah, that was a bit of, but then I got to take my you know, we all wrapped, and it was like we're at the Land Rover Experience Centre in Luton who it's called. And I was like, well, I'm here now, can I go for a drive and all the off-road stuff? And they were like, oh yeah, sure. We've cleaned all our cars up, but we could take one of them out. I was like, nah, let's take mine. And they were like, you really want to take your SVR with your 22-inch low-profile tyres and your shiny black alloys on? I was like, yeah, mate, let's do it. The Land Rover guys are like, right, let's bash it and go nuts, because they love you actually using them. So yeah, when we wrapped at whatever time, but I did about an hour and a half. I couldn't go home. I was having so much fun.
Yeah, just a couple of things.
Can you act interested in that instead of just, you know?
Well, it was a long one, that, mate.
Yeah, it was fun.
For the sound didn't come out. All right. I was looking at Twitter, mate. I was trying to find out all these guys that need an uppercut. Tom Browse needs an uppercut from mentioning you on the BBC advert. So does Bristol Ed.
Tommy.
Ed Condon.
Ed, you know, what? There are Tommy.
Georgina Barrett.
There are shed loads of them.
One in the face for you. Punch. There's more, though. There's more. Phil Restall.
Oh, by the way, on Friday, got a busy week this week, but this Friday coming, I'm interviewing, like, a bit of fun at a corporate event. I'm interviewing Harry Redknapp.
Okay.
And I love Harry Redknapp. Everyone does. But I would like people, if they think of it, to email or ideally tweet me with any fun questions or stories you might like me to ask Harry Redknapp, and then I will in turn tell you how he responded to those, and I'll give you a rundown of the stories he gave, and it won't be as good as him delivering it.
What does he think of Louise?
Oh yeah. Do you know what? I
went to watch Eternal 3 times because I liked her.
Do you know what? I saw this on the front page because her and Redders are splitting up, aren't they? And for some reason, the only time in my whole life, I feel a little bit gutted that Jamie and Louise
Redders. I know they were like the perfect couple, weren't they? But also she said that you know she was turned into like a stay-at-home mum where she wasn't able to work and she wasn't able to get out.
She wasn't doing anything. Yeah.
Yeah. But they also then listed everything that she's done, and it's quite a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, for whatever reason.
You never know what's going on behind closed doors, Tommy.
For whatever reason, it didn't work out.
But what I will say is, in the interest of balance, and it's 2017, so let's be appropriate, Jamie Redknapp is unbelievably fit. Okay. He's amazing. But that's just to balance this up. Louise Redknapp is so fit, I might get a nosebleed. That's what I'm going to say to you.
Yeah.
I love her, and so do you.
Right, that's it.
Tell you what I'm doing now.
What?
By the way, the reason we're in my car, we're doing quite a lot of car ones.
We get a guest on soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll sort someone. Okay. I'll sort somebody.
Right.
I will. Somebody English, because it's all Welsh, isn't it? We will. I'm on the way now. Shanks has had to meet me. We're busy guys. Yeah. I'm on the way to film an advert promo for the live games for Channel 5, and we're doing this dog agility and obedience thing, and all of us lot are taking our dogs. So I've got my English Bull Terrier cross Gus in the boot. He's done a couple of wees already and a poo here at Lee Delamere Services in the car park, picked it up, binned it.
Eastbound.
So I'll stretch his legs again now, and then I'll drive him on to become famous. And
he's a nice looking dog.
Do you reckon?
I like him.
Nick Abendonen once said he looks like he's inside out. That's why Nick and I'll never be friends. Also, because he gave his daughter the same name as mine without asking me. So I pretended I was really shitty with him. And then one of the lads said to me, oh, by the way, Bendy mentioned you're really pissed off with him. I was like, perfect. It worked. What else do you want to talk about?
That's it, mate, really. We're nearly an hour. We've given it a lot of rugby. You a little bit more than me, because I've not really watched that many games because I've been in Dubai.
Good honesty. I'll let us know who you might want as a guest, by the way. If, you know, we can kind of...
Achievable.
Well, no, we can line anyone up, really. There's no point in saying Dan Carter, because it's like, well, we're not going to go to France or Japan. Someone basically lives within 3 miles of either of our homes.
Mark Regan really wants to come on.
No. It's too blue. But if you've got any guests you'd really like to hear from, let us know. But until the next time, don't know.
God bless you. And God bless
you.
And God bless Robin Hood.
God bless you.